Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. I want to thank everybody that hung out with us yesterday. I want to thank God for another day. We had a blast yesterday. I want to thank God for that. Once again, before I begin my show, I want to send a shout out to my Flint, Michigan friends. I know all of you are still dealing with the tornado, the aftermath of it. I want to make sure everyone's okay. I heard from most of you, and I do appreciate that. Thank you very much for letting me know you guys were okay. So I just wanted to be sure that that everybody is, you know, everybody that's that. I'm just sorry, checking my ear. I want to make sure we don't have any more of these glitches we've been going through. Okay. Tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is continuing our contribution to youth empowerment and youth restoration. And this one, I believe, it definitely deals more with the parents and in our households and our right to run it. Now, we all know, whether we're in New York City or Michigan, Ohio, that there's a particular government agency that regulates the welfare of children. Okay, I do believe that they're a very necessary agency. I do not believe that they're doing their job to the point of fairness and efficiency, and only to the point of they're going a little overboard with some things. The government, we need them to regulate our business laws. We need to regulate the country on a whole. We need to make sure that everybody has fair practices, that the laws are in place for criminals, that everybody is not getting cheated out of money or unfair bank practices. And we do need them for people who decide that they want to beat their children beyond recognition, if you want to call it that, or to the point of killing them. So my point then becomes this. How on earth do we draw the line? And where does it become a point where the government is being too extreme? Okay, I'll give a few examples of what I think about government interference and other things, including your child. In New York City, we have a mayor that, in his effort to show that he's a good guy trying to advocate for good health in our children and in America on a whole, he decided that he's going to ban what the public can buy in terms of the size of soft drinks, okay? Now, those of you that know me know that I'm an employee of Madison Square Garden, so we are not allowed to, at one point, serve anything that was not a diet or sugar-free drink past the size of 16 ounces. I'm taking a moment so all of you can hear what I said and absorb it. We were not allowed to serve any sugared drinks, including lemonade, okay, passed the size of 16 ounces, and this was by law passed by Mayor Bloomberg. What? Okay, I get it. We definitely have an obesity problem, and believe me, a lot of the children nowadays are becoming health-wise, they're becoming victims of obesity. But that's not a point of something that a government has the right to step in and say, listen, you can't buy a 20-ounce steak. You got to limit it to a 10-ounce steak. Not for nothing, if I want to be fat, it's my business. That's where governments have nothing to do with making that decision for you. Okay. The next thing I would like to bring up is child rearing. I take the case of two examples I brought up in the previous broadcast this week, where there was a father in Dayton, Ohio, okay, that was arrested for beating his two daughters with a cord through three layers of clothing because his two teenage girls were in his house in their bedroom making a provocative video of themselves and posting it to Facebook, okay? He was arrested for this because they felt that the cord was a little too abusive or a little too extreme. Well, that may be, but if he was taking a cord through three layers of very thick clothing to beat his daughters for putting themselves out at a minor age to a bunch of people out there that are riddled with predators, riddled with pimps just waiting to recruit these young girls, I say this, better his cord through three layers of clothing than the knife, the gun, the fist, or the bat of a pimp that's dying to sit there and tell your daughters that they didn't bring in enough, okay? They didn't bring in enough for the day. They didn't lay on their backs enough. They didn't perform some oral favor enough. They didn't please a nasty customer enough to bring in the minimum of $1,000 a day, because at one point in time, that was what was going on with this particular drug ring that was, prostitution ring that was just busted up about a year ago in Brooklyn, New York. These girls at the age of 12, 13, 14 were being told that they must have brought in no less than $1,000 minimum a day. Some of these girls were school-age girls, preteens, and they were being held captive by day and let out at night. Some of them the opposite. They were going to school normally, so there was no suspicion brought down on them, and then they were sent out at night, okay, to go do this thing and to go be grown-ups and dressed up and perfumed up. If this father had beaten these girls and gave them the message that they were not allowed to do this thing, okay, they would have been out there in the world and victim of somebody's pimp, and the father would have been blamed for not doing something in the first place. Okay? We're having a little bit of sound problem from the studio next door. Just give me about 5 minutes and a break, and I'll be back. Okay? Thank you.
thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for that. We're having we're in an area where they're doing some construction. I do apologize for this, so I'm going to get back to what we were discussing. So, just a father in Dayton, Ohio, trying his best to raise two girls and teenage girls, and all of you that are parents know that not only are girls pretty strategic with the mouth and with the brain, but they are certainly, most certainly, hard for a dad, for sure. Okay, just like moms with a son, there's definitely an extra challenge there trying to do this from, you know, the opposite sex side of the fence. So this father was pretty much arrested because apparently some people who were on there that watched it, you know, decided that it was a little too graphic. I don't think for 1 minute, okay, that this father was extreme. And frankly, I would suggest that he took his own wire out of love for his child, okay, to sit there and say, you know what, do what you want, and whatever happens, happens. Because there are way too many predators out there waiting for him, waiting for your daughters to feel insecure, waiting for your sons to feel like nobody understands them, or that they're being tossed aside because of who they are and nobody wants to take time with them. This is precisely, as I brought up the day before yesterday, what these predators are looking for. They are targeting them. They are targeting them straight from their schoolyards and from their playgrounds. Which brings us back to tonight's point, okay? Governments have a place, but it's not in the place of parenting. Unless the parent is a chronic drunk, a chronic drug addict, okay? Or they're taking crowbars and beating the spine out of these children, okay? Unless that's what's going on, there should be no reason why there's a government involved. We're telling you how to raise the children that you gave birth to. Should be nothing. Okay? So the next thing that I would like to bring up is an example of what the child welfare agencies are doing out there. Okay? The child welfare agencies, they have a really great purpose. They do. When there is a child in need that's coming out back with split skulls and you know, deep burns, and people are doing practicing, or there's a mother's boyfriend that's raping the kids, I could get that. But now you need to start understanding exactly how you're supposed to, how exactly is it that you're supposed to regulate your decision on whether or not the family that you've been called in to investigate is one of. Are these one of those people? There's quite a few factors that should take it into place, okay? Abused children, they're not well-fed, not usually. They're not well-dressed, not usually, okay? Abused children don't have MP3s and iPods and iPhones. They don't have computers in their own rooms. Abused children don't have great education going on, because if they were being abused and their minds are not together. Okay? And then you have to take into factor what age are the children that are complaining. Because, see, now it's a double-edged sword. Now, when we were growing up, the beatings that we got, even though I believe that we are the last better generation for it, but the beatings that we got from teachers, adults, from neighbors next door, where were the child welfare agencies then? Question. The silence was for absorption, for anyone that's trying to figure out. I'm stuck. I'm not stuck. I just wanted you to take a minute and soak it up. But nowadays, the children have open access to calling on their parents, to calling the police. And the funny thing is that if you went to a non-African-American neighborhood, and this is not playing the race card, this just is what it is, okay, you're going to get half of the skepticism, the pre-labeled notion going in from the workers, okay? You're not going to get the same expectations of what they're expecting to find once a complaint like this came out if they were in a non-African-American neighborhood. Now, coming in to an African-American neighborhood where a child more than likely just got punished by their parents because she found out that they were smoking, or they were on a Facebook page when they shouldn't have been, or they didn't do their homework, that child decides, I don't want to be here under rules anymore. You know what? I'll call the child welfare agency. Now, I understand their rule. They're mandated to answer every single call. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Answer every call. But when you get in there, use your brains, your common sense, use the assessment of the situation. And I'm not talking about you walked in and at one point, you know, that there was a mess on the floor. Because if there's toddlers involved in that household composition, there's going to be a mess. Okay? I don't care how Felix Otto, neat freak you are, you have toddlers, you have a mess. Okay, if there's more than one child, listen, it doesn't even have to be toddlers. Teenagers are twice as bad. Okay? But now you start asking the parents, and not by their initial attitude, to not want you there asking them questions, so they're going to have a problem with it, because I certainly don't like strangers coming to my house and asking questions that's personal. But start looking in the baby's diapers. They start looking in underneath the girl's butts. They try to make sure that there's no hidden marks before they even assess the situation. Before they ask if this child has been in school, have your other children been in school? Has there been any complaints or problems with anyone else? How do you know it's not just that one kid that's feeling his oats or her oats at the time? Take a look around. Are there drugs paraphernalia spread all over the house? And I'm not talking beers, because you know something, a man or a woman is working 5 to 10 to 12 hours a day to bring food to the table. They're entitled to beer if they'd like it. Are they forcing the kids to drink that beer? Are they beating their children or having hallucinations that would make them see their children as lovers? But that's a different story. But to have a beer at the end of the day, or a drink at the end of the day when they come home, I don't see anything wrong with that. People are grown. Are they doing it with their children, around their children? That's another situation. But even so, I think a child can handle seeing their father or mother drink one beer. Don't be wrong. I'm not saying that I condone it personally or not, either way. I'm just saying that grown folks need to know how to be responsible. And I'm sure that the average person is. But the government has no right to tell me that I can't spank my child. They do have the right to tell me that to beat them within an inch of their life on a consistent basis is a little too much. And that still depends on what was being done when the beating happened. Because you don't know if that parent is talking to the same kid 1,000,006 times, trying to get them out of scrapes, get away from bad corners, seeing them hang around with drug dealers. You don't know at that moment when you witness that beating what took place up until that time. That parent could have been one that don't like to beat and tried to talk some sense into their kid 15, 16, 17 times. And by the way, those of you who are not parents, please do not try to make a judgment before you step a minute into a parent's shoes. Please do not, and I can say this straight up, do not make a judgment on what you saw a parent do at that moment if you've never met them before, because you don't know what the situation was up until that point to make that parent react that way. And nowadays, children are so active, and they're so determined, and they're so technologically savvy, okay, that they're falling and they're having all these bruises on them. You can't be afraid to take your child to a doctor. You can't be afraid that they have a mark on them because you're afraid that some teacher's going to see it and wonder if the kid's been bashed in the back of the neck with a crowbar because they happen to be standing on their butt bed playing Superman. They don't know how many times you have told that child, do you stand up there? The government has no place in parenting until it becomes a criminal act. That is my stand on it, and I say it loud and loud. Nobody who's not a parent understands what it means to be in a situation where you're watching your child grade slip because they've been caught up with peer pressure, grade slipping because they don't get their nose open. Okay? They got their nose open from their first whiff of a little girl or a little boy. So now that little boy or that little girl is giving them some great little lines and making their heart flutter for the first time. So everything goes out the window, including respecting the rules of their mom and dad's house. And it doesn't matter whether you're a single parent or not, or a double parent household. Because a single parent busting their mind to try to give their children some like home in a shelter and teaching right from wrong with what they have to do, doing a 100% job with a 50% tool supply. Okay, that person, regardless of how the way everybody's ideals are, is doing a hell of a job. And once again, those of you who have not had children, please step back until you walk a day in their shoes. No, I won't even say a day. If you guys can do 1 hour of a parent's 24-hour cycle and survive, more power to you, but you'll get more insight in that 1 hour than you'll get in a lifetime. Even being a doting aunt or uncle is not the same as being the one that has to make the decisions for that child. And when you get to the point that you feel you have done everything in your power to show that child love, to show that child the right way from the wrong way, to protect that child, and that child stands up and tells you to go to hell or to do this or to do that, and you're looking at them like, what? And you can come back as a mother to all the hours and labor you stood there trying to bring that child into the world. And you think about all the nights you stood up, worrying, crying, a fever spike beyond. And you think about all the times that somebody told you your child just fell off a bike and your heart flooded into your ears and you didn't know where to go. Then you look at the mouth that that's coming out telling you something. You have no clue what that's like. Non-parents. Your job is to be a village supporter. So if that child is doing something that you see, maybe you should reach out and try to get into the child's mind and then bring it to a parent before you try to pick up a phone call to an agency that doesn't know anything about me and to read a report. I do have a guest that we all have become familiar with in this last week, those of you listening. And I'm no longer calling him a guest. He's going to be like an honorary co-host because he is very actively involved with youth, with community issues out of Ohio, and he's agreed to once again come in and give us his time. I'd like to hear his thoughts on this because one of the things that he has been doing actively is being involved with youth and with the young men and definitely with the community out there. So I would like for you guys to just give me about 2 seconds to get Ms. Betty Williams on the line, okay? Thank you. Mr. Williams, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hello. I am very fine. Thank you once again for taking the time out to come here and be our sex voice.
Not a problem. And I thank you for the opportunity to be heard.
You're very welcome. This is something I'm trying to do for everyone to make sure that these things are brought out there because it's definitely something that touches me. As a parent, as a youth advocate, you know, a former educational sit-down person, I'm very intrigued with the projects that you're doing out there. That's what actually got us started to do. And I would like to know, what is your take on tonight's topic, with government interfering with parenting?
Well, it all depends. There's a good side to that, and then there's a bad side. But when it comes to interfering as far as discipline, I think we had a discussion on this a little bit before. There's a very large difference between discipline and child abuse. Now, in some cases, you may have. There was a situation I was in with my daughter. A mosquito had bit her on her arm, and she has a very bad reaction to mosquito bites. So I had to take her to the hospital. So I took her to the hospital and got into the emergency room. And when they took her to the examining room, they asked me to wait outside. I said, well, why do I have to wait outside here? I'm her father. They said, well, we just want to examine her real good, and then we'll let you in a few minutes. And I'm like, well, I'm starting to feel kind of weird about it. And I was set outside for about an hour and a half waiting for them to come back. Then I see police officers come into to the emergency room. And I'm like, well, what happened? Somebody gets shot or something, or what's going on? Then the next thing I know, the doctor comes back out and says that the police want to ask me a few questions. I'm like, a few questions about what? I said, I brought my daughter over here because of a mosquito bite, And they're going to tell me, well, it doesn't look like a mosquito bite. I said, it doesn't look like a mosquito bite to you, but I'm telling you that's what it is, because her arm has swollen up so bad that she had a reaction to mosquito bites, and she still has it to this day, and she's an adult today. So there was a big issue about that, and they called child services on me, and to the point to where I almost lost my daughter. Now, I had told them, I said, well, if I discipline my child, you don't have to worry about marks being on my daughter like that, because I wouldn't do that. You know, like I said, there's a big difference between abuse and discipline. If you get to the point to where you're going to bruise your child or draw blood, that is definitely child abuse. There's no question about that. But you have some authorities that go overboard with that. We need to get back to the old ways of doing things as far as disciplining our children. And you have the younger age that are having children today, they refuse to even discipline their children. And some of the children are coming up and they wind up talking back to them. You see some of these young kids walking around here cussing and saying all kinds of profanity, and they think that's cute while the child is small. But when they get older, those profanities start coming out towards them, then they have a different look on their face, and that's really crazy to me.
Well, I do understand 100% about the ACS interference with making a mistake with stuff. One of the things that I have never shared before, but a few of the people around me knew, I had a son in 1990 that passed away to sudden infant death syndrome, okay? He was two and a half months old. I had been to the ER so many times because he couldn't breathe through his nose. And as an infant, they breathe through their nose because they're constantly sucking, so they need to breathe through their nose. And I had told this hospital on 11 different occasions to please tell me what's wrong with the baby. Why can't he breathe through his nose? Oh, no, he's a winter baby. You don't have anything to worry about. He just needs to take these little saline drops and this little big bulbous thing to suck out the mucus. It's only saline water drops. Don't worry, it won't hurt him. You can do it up to 4 to 5 times a day. Okay. I went back telling them, and I was about 19 years old at the time, so I was very young and, you know, my mom. And I said, listen, you're telling me to remove mucus that's not coming out because there's no mucus to be given. Something is wrong with the baby. Okay. Well, after the 11th visit to the hospital, that night my son was very, very cranky, cried all the time. And at 19, you got all these grown folks telling you, don't pick that baby up because you're going to spoil him and you ain't going to get to sleep. And Lord knows I was at that point where maybe they're right. Maybe I'm spoiling the baby. Maybe I'm not supposed to pick them up. Babies just need to cry. And at that time, they didn't tell you the baby should be on their back. So I'm thinking if he's going to throw up or anything, he'd throw it out his mouth on his stomach. Okay, well, after that 11th visit, the very night, he was very cranky, and about 11:35 at night, I went to rub, and he finally went to sleep. I rubbed his back, and I said, Mom's tired, please, baby, go to sleep. And he went to sleep. So the next day, I woke up, 4:15, 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30, every 15 minutes on the nose, they didn't know why. 7 o'clock, I finally couldn't go back to sleep in the morning, and when I woke up, my child had died in his sleep. So I knew nothing about any of this, just that my child was not with me anymore. So the next day, I was out there. I'm calling the ambulance, and nobody would say the words that your baby passed away. Okay? Now, I'm only bringing this up because ACS didn't write after. Nobody would say the baby passed away. Okay, I got the ambulance telling me we got to do our job, so my mind is going, he looks dead, but maybe I don't know what I'm doing because I'm just a mother. I don't know medical stuff. Then they couldn't do anything, but nobody would say he died. Got into the ambulance. They're saying the doctor will take care of him, so my mind is playing this hope. Yes, they're just paramedics. What do they know? When we get to the hospital, the doctors will know what to do. Now, the doctors are in there. It was in a Catholic hospital. I'll never forget it, in Queens. And they're working on him, and he's not responding. And I'm peeking through the door, and they're pushing me out the way. And finally, they come and ask me 55 questions
about his previous history, and I'm happy now because I'm going, they're going to tell me that they found out why he's not breathing right, and they're going to tell me that he's got an illness, but he's alive. After 55 questions, the doctor says to me, you know your baby passed away, right?
Wow.
So now I'm looking, and that's when the tears came and the bawling came. And then in comes the police and in comes the Child Protective Services, okay, to ask me that what happened. So at that time, my child's grandmother had said, you leave her alone because she's in grief right now and she might say things out of guilt because she feels like maybe she didn't do something as much. Get away from her and give her a degree. Okay.
Right.
At that time, mind you, there was never no previous anything. My child, other child that was before him, was well fed, well bred, well everything, wonderful pediatrician reports, very smart for her age. But because we were in a black neighborhood, they said that in order for me to take my child, my remaining child, home, that I had to be under supervision or they had to take her away. And I said, you will not take this one remaining child back, so you're going to have to kill me, shoot me, or arrest me first. So they had to make an improvision and said I could stay at my mom's house where all my sisters and brothers were, helping me get the funeral arrangements together because that was considered supervised visits. Okay? And then I found out that they went to the funeral home and asked the funeral director, were there any marks on my baby? That didn't work because there's nothing on the baby except what happens after the baby dies. They called the coroner, who had just called me, telling me how sad he was because this is the worst type of autopsy that he has to do because he can't explain to a mother why a perfectly healthy child just dies for no reason. Okay, that wasn't enough for them, all right? So we get to now the funeral. And then I get to a good support group after my child was buried to find out that there was a interracial couple, white and Asian, whose seven-month-old daughter in the SID support group, okay, seven-month-old daughter was not diagnosed with having the SID, but suffocation. Hear what I say now, suffocation. She was found under a pillow in the parents' bed, suffocated by word of the medical examiner. And she told me she knows herself that there's racism going on with this because when ACS and the police came to their house after the initial report of the baby, they looked around, realized that he was a computer technician and she was a banker, and they said, we won't be bothering you again. And they didn't.
Wow. That is awesome. That's really weird.
My child was diagnosed with sudden infant death syndrome because that's what the coroner said. There was not a thing wrong with my child. And he even told me that something was going to happen to him, but the baby was way too small for any of their standard tests to pick it up at that time. He would have had to groan with the breathing problem, okay, in order for them to detect it, which my subsequent boys wind up having exactly what my son would have been diagnosed with, was enlarged adenoid, enlarged tonsils, and something in their ear that they need, which is by their genetic family. Four boys.
Wow.
So they went through all of this with bringing government in, with sending police over to investigate while my son was being prepped for a funeral. While I'm grieving, having just heard the words for the first time, and my son passed away. And they were sitting there saying, "What was there anything out of place? Were you feeling suicidal? Were you feeling upset? Did your baby make you feel a little too upset and anxious? Did you ever shake the child? What?"
Wow.
And I asked them, "Why don't you go ask the coroner and let me grieve?"
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But this is where the government interference gets to the point where their preconceived notions coming into whichever demographic area they're in becomes a problem. And what happens is that our youth grow up to be what they are now. Okay, hit me, I'll call the police. I told mine, call the police, and I'll make sure that I ask them to bring the handcuffs for you with them.
Wow. Well, first of all, I'd like to say my prayers go out to you because I don't know what it would be like to lose a child, and I hope I never have to experience that. But the way society is now, it's just so crazy. You know, it's it doesn't make any sense the way they're doing things today. It seems like back in the day when we were coming up, it seems like things were just a little bit better. I mean, some of the discipline that I got, they probably would call it child abuse today, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then some of the discipline that I got, a lot of times, I knew I deserved it because I was just, I was more than a handful, you know. So if it wasn't for some of those disciplinary, I'm not going to say beatings, but discipline whippings, I probably wouldn't still be here today, you know, and I thank God for it, you know. So, you know, even the Bible tells you, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child, you know, and there's a lot of spoiled children walking around in this world today. That is for sure.
And the double standard from society, as I've been saying consistently, is this. They want to blame the criminals, people, criminals that they pick up on the parents. But when the parents were involved in doing something, then they want to blame the parents for doing too much. So my thing, like, I remember that very daughter that I'm telling you that they tried to take from me when her little brother passed. She grew up to be a mother now of her own and everything. But when she was little, I'll never forget, she was about 9-10 months old, just, you know, learning how to walk. And I was sitting in front of my dad's church because we were about to leave. And she was, you know, going up and down the block, and she, you know, up and down this little area there. There was a broken glass bottle on the floor. And she kept trying to pick it up because it was shiny, and I kept telling her, no, don't do that, put it down. No, don't do that, put it down. So the third time I got up and I tapped her hand, and I said, no, no, you'll get cut, and that's dirty. Okay. So a rookie cop is walking the streets of East New York, Brooklyn, and he's telling me, you could get arrested for that. You're not supposed to tap your child on the hand that way. There's a way to do that. I said, excuse me? I said, let me ask you something. I said, if I don't do something to discipline my daughter now while she's little, you'll be using that baton sitting on the side of your hand when she's 16 to use it to discipline her your way. And I said, I would love to see who would arrest me for tapping my 10-month-old daughter's hand for picking up a broken beer bottle in the middle of the street. And the thing is that when they're overeager, especially the ones that just got into the job, these social workers are coming in with a textbook. They're not looking that the textbook is a guideline. It's not a specific to each person they're going to visit. Okay? Now, I have a lot of children. I have 7 children that I'm raising on my own now. Okay? And when they got this message, they were coming to a single mom of 7. They were expecting to see dishes piled up high, a mother whose hair was being torn out. You know, they didn't expect to see that I had 4 students in the school that single-handedly were making A's, were being asked to go to a gifted program, was going to church, and instead of being on the street, they were helping the church with the youth community, was involved with helping feed the homeless, the whole 9 at ages 10, 11, and 12. They certainly didn't expect that my 4-year-old how to read and write and tell her address and 911 and everything, even to the point of we were in Penn Station once. We had stopped to get Kentucky Fried Chicken while we were waiting for the next connecting train. My 3-year-old got out, unstrapped herself from the carriage, and apparently she thought she saw where we went because her older sister left the carriage alone, you know, that I was getting the food. And she actually went to the Penn Station police and said, my mommy said if I ever get lost that I'm not to talk to strangers but to find a police officer. Now, my name is Layla, and I left my carriage, and my mommy doesn't know. And my sister, my bumhead sister, she told the police, left me alone. So I had to come to the police to find my mommy. And so the policeman told me when I found her, he said to me, well, oh my God, she amazed me because for 3 months I couldn't even believe she was only 3. So he said I had to ask her what her mommy's name was, and she told me all the way around, even where she lived and what your phone number was. She was 3.5.
Wow. Wow. Praise God for that.
Yeah, because
wow.
I don't know what I would have did if I would have lost her, Lord.
Yeah,
so it was that way. But when they come in with a complaint, they're not expecting to see that. They're coming in expecting to take your kid.
Yeah, and that's not right. They're prejudging you. And that's not fair. That's not fair to a parent. They need to start letting parents be parents, especially the ones that are good parents. They need to start letting them do their job. I mean, these children are truly a gift from God, and we have a responsibility to them to raise them and show them the right way to go in life. And if we're being hindered by some laws established by the government, then what's the point? I mean, what's the point? You're defeating the purpose that we're supposed to have with our children. I mean, come on now. You want all these children to wind up in foster homes? And a few of those that I don't agree with, because I have some issues with some of these foster homes that they send these children to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's another story, because I've seen some children that I know that had to be rescued from some of these foster homes. So they need to be focusing on a lot of those, really, when it comes to raising up children.
That's another debate that I have with this agency, because, well, the government getting involved, because, listen, if the idea is child welfare and you're coming into a home that is not the extreme abusive home that you think it is, but there are some problems, right? Isn't your job to enable the parent and make sure that the child stays where they belong naturally and work out whatever rifts are going on there? Why would you think that removing them from where they naturally belong to put them in a stranger-filled environment, with most of these foster parents are not foster mothers because they care, or foster parents because they care. They actually offer more benefits to these strangers for taking in these kids than they offer the parents to help them get through the rough time. If you see that there's a parent who's low income, why aren't you giving them something to help them, you know, supplement their income way to help these people?
Right.
Then half of these foster homes are overcrowded. Then you're bringing in a bunch of strange kids that got different levels of with them. Some of them are hardcore criminals. Some of them are troubled because they've been raped to death.
Yeah.
Some of them are just, you know, they got schizophrenia. Some of them are ridden with some diseases. I mean, you're putting all these people in. You're not even disclosing to some of the parents what's going on. But you have all these children who's unrelated in this place, and you call that better?
I don't see any fairness in that at all. Not one bit. Not at all.
They need to wisen up. I think they need to hone their, you know, to sharpen and update their method of assessment, because, first of all, the children are a lot more smarter now. They're a lot more clever. They're a lot more active than they think. So, exactly, super active, super determined, super adventurous, okay? And they're a lot more violent based on the video games that's coming out, based on the things that they see, based on the support structure turning their back on them like the party has. So
yeah, a lot of the music that they have blaring into their heads every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about killer and rape a hoe and do this. This is what they hear.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, these people are coming in with the old day textbook. No, you need to update it to what children can do nowadays.
Right.
You need to update it to what the children think nowadays.
Yeah, I used to get in trouble when I used to sneak and try and listen to Red Fox albums back in the day, and Digby Markham and all those comedians, where it was basically wrong for me as a child to listen to. But I used to sneak and listen to it, but that wasn't something that back then children were allowed to listen to. Those were adult albums, but now it's like it's so rampant and all over. It seems like nothing is just normal anymore. I mean, it seems like everything is abnormal. You know, you it seems like you can't go anywhere without hearing some type of profanity being blared out of the cars riding down the street, or somebody just playing loud music, and it's crazy. We are now living in the end times, if you really look at it. Yes, it is.
We'll get back
and it's
to
a sad situation it is.
Yes.
Say again.
The government, I was saying the government should have a certain amount of permission when it comes to a point that it's above and beyond what would be considered normal standard for discipline. You know,
right.
I don't think that a child should be, you know, skin open to death every single day on a consistent basis. But I do believe that when something happens, that they should ask, what was the premise for that situation to have occurred?
Right.
Okay? If a parent just found out that their daughter was caught with a man in a car, I would be beating my kid and probably the guy too. Because the first thing you're gonna think, you understand?
Yeah.
Now you gotta take that situation and say, okay, today was a beating. How does your mom normally treat you in situations? And if that child says, my mom never really hit me before, then obviously, as a woman, you need to think something big happened today.
Right.
Okay? But if this child is constantly bruised up and scared to talk to people and everything, maybe that's something to investigate.
Right. You got that right. Because anytime you're in a situation like that, there is something very wrong with that picture. If you have a child that's afraid to even speak to anyone, something is going wrong in that home. And that needs to be investigated. But it seems like they focus more on the parents that are really doing the parenting, and they want to focus in on that. It's just they've got everything twisted up today.
It is, and the children know more than ever that this is an open access to the slime. And the thing is, even if they don't win it, Mr. Williams, if they don't win it, you know, you got to go through the inconvenience of a preliminary investigation in the first place.
Right.
Because the BCW, ACS, Child Welfare Services, DSS, whatever they're called, must answer whatever complaint comes through their hotline. No matter what, even if it's unfounded later, your name was in the system once. And like I said, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think they should. But at the same token, they also should really, when they come in there, try not to have to make a return visit if you got from the first time you've been there that it's not all that it was cracked up to be.
Right, right.
And you're never out of the loop, even if they said that they don't see anything. They don't even tell you that they didn't think anything was wrong until 30 days after they claimed that they finished investigating.
Yeah, it's some issues that really need to be clear up in today's society. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. But we as a people need to come together and start making our voices heard when everybody's not coming out and voicing their opinions about what they think that the government is doing. They're going to figure we're okay with it and keep doing the things that they do. It's just like, well, okay, nobody's complaining about it, so I guess we can press this on. And that's not the case. And there's a lot of situations that's going on in today's society that we sit back and don't say anything. But you have another group of people, they get things done is because they're out there and their voices are heard.
Right.
You know, but it seems like, I'll say inner city folk, it seems like they'll sit back and just seem like, okay, this is acceptable, well, or it doesn't matter, well, it doesn't matter if we say anything because they're going to do what they want to do anyway. That is not so. We need to stop thinking like that and just open our eyes and open our mouths and let's get some action done. First of all, the government has it today believing like we work for them. I mean, these are elected officials. And if we can't get them to do what we elected them to do, it's time for us to go in there and get them out of the place of office and change somebody and get somebody in there that's going to work for us and not against us. And that's what
Absolutely.
The whole situation is with society is today. You know, the government has got it twisted. They act like we're working for them. But we are the taxpayers that make sure that they get a paycheck every month or every year, whichever way they pay them. And it seems like it goes to their head. Because I know, like here in Toledo, you have a lot of politicians that use this city as a springboard to further their political career. Just use us as a springboard. And there are issues with children here, and they're not addressing it. We have a African American mayor here in the city, and you wouldn't even think so if you live here, because he is not in touch with the people, not in touch with the inner city people. But there's other people that he's very much in touch with, and it's not fair because it causes a separation within the city. And as long as you have a separation in the city, you're always going to have problems in the city. And you have a lot of young people today that are striking out because of the separation, and they're feeling like that they have people that feel that they are better than them because of the neighborhood that they live in. And that's not fair.
That's I call that a demographic discrimination.
Yes, it is.
They'll assume that because you come from Wall Street up here. I mean, I don't know what Ohio, you know, uppity towns are, but if you come from Midtown or Park Place or, you know, up there in Chelsea, you know, you must be a well-bred citizen. You must come
right.
from a finer class of finer stature, not understanding that it's not the neighborhood that makes a person, it's the person that makes a person. You
right.
know?
But see,
and
here is considered, mm-hmm. well, the north side. Okay, this where I live at is considered the north side of Toledo, Ohio, and it's called the Warren Sherman area. Okay, when you say Warren Sherman area, it's like people are like, oh, he comes from over there. Okay, yeah, well, we got to watch him. Oh, why is that? Why do you think that because I come from the north side or I live near the Moody Manor complex that I have to be a bad person? Just because you consider that area bad. That's crazy. You know, you have respectable people that live in the same area where I live at and really care about their communities, care about their children, and they care what goes on with their children. So to be judgmental of a people from a certain part of town is crazy. It's really ludicrous. It really is. And it's somewhere we have to draw the line and start stepping up, man. It's long overdue to start stepping up and making some noise. Like I always believe the old saying, the squeakiest wheel will get the oil. So we need to stop being silent. Let's start getting some of this oil out here.
I hear you. And I think that's such an excellent phrase. You know, I really do. And I can't think enough because the more that I speak with you and the more things that you're telling me that you're involved with and your thoughts come out even more. You have definitely been a wonderful contribution to this. You definitely helped me get my side of things on this end. You know, we've colluded pretty much and come up with a lot of, you know, what the topic should be, what we need to bring out, what points we should bring out most from both ends. And pretty much both of what we've been talking about on both ends of America at this moment has been basically the same common ground from both our communities. So I do thank you for taking as much time as you have to come out here. You've never said no, and a lot of my listeners have found you to be a popularity feature over here, so I appreciate that very much.
Oh, I appreciate you. Could I possibly give one shout-out to one special person?
Absolutely.
Mr. Reverend Al Sharpton. I don't know if this is a true rumor that he is supposed to be coming to Toledo and to speak, I think, at a university. Okay, my opinion is when you come to Toledo, don't go speak at a university. Come to Scott High School in the hood. Come to the hood and speak to the people that live in the heart of this city. Because where I live at, there's no way you can come into this city and not travel through the area where I live. There's no way in or out of the city. You have to travel through here. So I'd like to extend an invitation to him to come visit us at Scott High School in Toledo, Ohio, and he would be very welcome. I know if President Obama could make an appearance there and give a speech to the young people there, I don't see anything that would prevent him from coming. He would very much be welcome.
Okay. Now, I hope and I hope everybody who heard that, if you have a way of getting through to him or call and let him know that. And you, Mr. Williams, you continue to do what you can do out there and spread your voice because, you know, it's a start. It's a start.
Yes, it is.
And I think it's
yes,
wonderful
it is.
What you're doing out there. The other thing, we still have a few minutes left in this segment before we have to come out. Yesterday, I really would like to thank you for when you came back because apparently you and I are diehard Knicks fans.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Go Knicks.
No doubt.
I've been a Knicks fan all of my life because you know I'm originally from Brooklyn, so.
Yes.
I've always been an avid Knicks fan.
Oh wow!
And it's nice to speak to an avid Knicks fan too. So.
It was nice. So your final thoughts on government interference with parenting?
Okay, government back off a little bit. You know, let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100, government. Come on now. You work for us. We don't work for you. Let's not get it twisted. So come on out. Come on, let's make some changes. And like I said, let's be a squeaky wheel. Let's all get together and get some of that oil that's out there, because there's plenty of oil for us to get oiled up. We have other groups of people that are getting it, so why not us?
Mom,
thank you very much. I say the same. I believe that child welfare needs to update their assessment criteria. I think that they need to start thinking more out of the textbook and into the world, because nowadays the children are savvy, the people around them are savvy. They need to start learning how to read people more than they read in their checklist, because they're going to wind up making the wrong decisions and sending a child that had had a good foundation but a bad conflict resolution with their parents into a world of total failure.
Yes.
With the wrong values. Mr. Williams, once again, thank you very much for joining me, for taking the time out once again. We are about to go to our next segment. Please feel free on standby, because you will always be a welcome voice on this show. And please continue.
Well, I really want to thank you and appreciate the time and allowing me to be a present voice in New York City. Because we surely need a voice from Toledo into New York to let some people know what's going on here. And maybe we can get some people to come down and give us a visit and really see what's going on in this neighborhood and how city government here is, like, my opinion, a big joke.
And in all actuality, you're giving New York a little something too, because you're letting us know that even small towns away from us, the things that we're seeing here is going on there too. So
yes.
I really, really appreciate it. And, you know, the collusion is a wonderful thing. So government, stay out of our business. If I want to be fat, I'll be fat. If I want to
That's right.
Care
and
tell and
I would
child,
like to say God bless Katie and friends and the radio broadcast station and everybody that is involved. May the Lord smile his face upon you. And always, always keep in your heart the love of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you very much for that, because we sure need the prayers. Okay? I will see
All right.
you soon. I will be talking to you soon, Mr. Williams, very soon. Okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Dick and Zeddy Williams, the Family Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio. For those of you that are new, I'm hoping that you heard what he had to say, and that you got the same type of connection that everyone else has had. This man is out there working the communities, doing the best that he can, doing the most that he can. He is not stopping. And the same is what we're trying to do out here in New York. We need people to step up and start talking. Step up and speak up. And this is not an MTA announcement or a public service announcement. This is a parents and us and we live here announcement. Okay, we see what's going on, and we need to be able to talk about it and get it out there. If you can't say it for yourself, we'll say it for you. Now, the next segment I am introducing here is going to be the beginning of our Spread Your Wings Showcase. This is where we start to give our up-and-coming entrepreneurs and our up-and-coming music artists their first little mentions away from our page that's on our website on Wix.com. I want to start, I might be giving a little bit of play to two of them, or two of our music artists, and that is Marcus M.C. Silvers is an up-and-coming client for the KBA Public Agency. And Livra, who's just six wonderful local kids out here in Queens, New York, that is trying to keep themselves positive and above the nonsense that's going on here. And not only that, in addition, they're taking hip hop and using our Lord through Christian music. So I am going to start off with Livra with this tune that I've become very attached to in 2 days. It's called I Will Be Alright. And I will be back. This is Libra. Six young men and women that's out here in Queens, New York. Praising our Lord, giving themselves an uplift out of what they see around them, trying to promote positivity and spirituality all over the place. Once again, Libra, with the song called I Will Be All Right. I'll be back in three.
What do I say?
What do I say?
When the tears just won't stop.
When the tears won't stop.
Seems like I'm climbing a mountain.
Climbing on sorrow.
Feels like the top.
And it feels like the top.
And all I've leaned on.
And all I leaned on.
It just needs a surprise.
It just needs a surprise.
Tell me, Mr. Refuge.
Where's the refuge?
Where's the joy?
Was Libra with I Will Be Alright. Beautiful song, beautiful uplifting testimony. Love it. You guys, keep it up out there. Keep it up out there. When I see you walking, I want to shake your hands personally. Monster Miles, thank you very much for introducing that group to the panel. Ladies and gentlemen, please, when you take a look at On the Edge Radio Show Facebook page and Katie Barnett personal Facebook page, those of you that are my Facebook friends, please take a look and click on the link to the On the Edge Radio Show's official website. On our market page, we have two separate pages, one for the up-and-coming business owners, which after the next song, I will be reading them off on the air, and one for the music artists that want to submit their music to heard. Hopefully they find some record producer that's out there, but if not, y'all have heard it. All of you have heard it. These are young people that are trying to be above the horrible that they face, the circumstances that's telling them that you're not going to see anything past what you see. They are staying positive. They are staying in their music. They are dedicated to their craft, and it is our job to support them then to keep that positivity flowing. And if it means that I will play the same record that they have up there 8 times, I'll do it. Libra, God bless you. God bless you. I support you 100%. Please feel free to contact the show for anything that you need. Up next, my boy, Marcus MC Silvers with Cameo's rendition of Candy. No, back it up. His rendition of Cameo's Candy with his own little rap flair, and I love it. And I hated Cameo back in the day. Y'all can kill me later, but I hated Cameo because the guy with the big eyes to scare me, how I love him. But I love this song and this version. And Marcus, if you're out there, hope you're listening on me, hit me up. I'm proud. I'll be serving representing real soon, okay? Here's Marcus MC Silver's Candy.
Woke up in the spot, I got my shine on. Team on the block, you get that grind on. Girls only with that green, don't treat them like I watch, I don't wear, cause I ain't got time for them. I got love for my fans though. Beat it up, she told me bunch of shots like Rambo. Riding non-stop, without handles. 6 shifts, no automatic on manual. My team, you know I gotta ride for. Every truck I do, I cup a G4. Boss crazy, cream on. About to blow up room, C4. I'm on a roll, I can't stop it. Swagger on a mill, yo, she's on top of. You mad cause she chose me. And she stayed just like
look real nice. Rocks up top.
Oh. Yeah. Woo.
stay on the beat. Love that song, Marcus. Love it, MC. Love it. Okay. Now we are going to go to the business side of the Spread Your Wings showcase. I am happy to announce that in the little bit of time before the show even got on the air, people were actually interested in the free advertising that we're offering them. A little local people in the neighborhoods of where they're at. I actually have gotten 7 submissions between New York, Pennsylvania, and Flint, Michigan. So my Flintstones, if you're out there, pay attention, because I believe you know this little local boy, and he's out there hustling 2 businesses. Y'all have to show him your support. Mo, I love you, dude. All right, let's start off. The first one in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, is a young lady who's out there hustling because she knows how to do hair, okay, mainly braiding. She's real good at it. If you head over to our page and look at our market page, you can see examples of everyone's work. This one is called Tasha's Tousle. She's a location in Lansdale, PA. You can email her at tashastousles@gmail.com. I'm not going to spell every one of these things on the air. You can go to the webpage and you can look it up. She is excellent. I like work I see on paper. She even did somebody close to me's hair, which is my little baby granddaughter, and she's pretty good. Number 2, Mo, Flint, Michigan. Iyanka Photography and Imaging. He's in Flint. You can contact him at marmos567@gmail.com. He is, again, listed on our market page up there on our On the Edge official On the Edge radio show website. Okay? And we are going to move on to the next one. Oh, it's Mo again in Flint, Michigan. Okay, Mosley Sound Inc., that's where he does all his wonderful music. All of y'all have heard of quite a bit of his samples. Okay, now let's help him do something with it. Okay, he is mosleysound@aol.com. Okay, the next one, HSM Photography in New York City. You have seen, those of you that have actually inboxed me with some feedback from the official website, has actually told me you like the soccer pictures that you saw as a sample. So I would like for you to take a look at our page, and he's at hsmphotographynyc@yahoo.com. Another New York City local, two places coming to him. Now, he actually sent me his info where I can actually read it straight off. So just give me 2 seconds and let me access that so that I can pronounce everything properly and say the right thing here. Okay. We have a computer repair and IT services shop right in Brooklyn. It was formerly called Peace Mac. It is now called Doodle Technologies. And be emailed at doodletechnologies@gmail.com. Again, he was formerly called PC Mac in Brooklyn. For any of you Brooklynites who knew the place, it is now called Doodle Technologies. It is an IT and computer repair services company. So you can get your computer repaired or any IT technical issues that you have. You can see this guy in Brooklyn. Another one is 4Play Music Entertainment. Okay, in Brooklyn, he offers... Let me get right here and read what he said. Thank you for paying attention and for staying in with me. And here we go. All right. He has free live DJ services for nonprofit organizations, including schools. You can go live DJ any school out there, churches, anyone with events will give you free live DJ services. And paid DJ services for those that are not nonprofit, which includes sound and lighting in the services, okay, or DJ-based entertainment services, including sound and lighting. You can go to the number 4Play Music Entertainment. Location is in Brooklyn, New York. They can be emailed at 4playmusicent@gmail.com. And our last
but not least, submission came from a person who manages a very, he's a very different, new, exciting artist. He's a little older, but he has some energy, and he's fun. I happened to see him at the Brooklyn Exposure about 2 weeks ago. His name is Dave G. He is managed by Zena Gilliard Entertainment. Back that up. Zena Gilliard Management, ZMG Management in New York, New York. He manages an artist called Dave G. You guys need to Google him and listen to his songs. He's an up-and-coming singer/rapper. And he's got some energy about him, and I love it. And he's entertaining, and his music was pretty good. You guys need to look him up, give him some support. I will be mentioning these guys again. For right now, I want to big up my up-and-coming artist once again. And I'm going to big up my girl Jai at this moment. I'm going to give it to her as I go to commercial break so that I come back and continue with this pre-wedding showcase. You guys have been wonderful. I do want to thank all of you. We are nearly at 1,300 listeners, just about 1,300 listeners, which is something that I did not think could happen in less than a week. But it did, through all the glitches, through all of my nervousness, through all of our novice mistakes or glitches that's taken place. You guys have all found that the content is more valuable than the problems that we had getting it out to you. We will continue this mission. We will continue to make sure that anything we can give out there to help empower ourselves, to help restore and rebuild ourselves, all of this can be done. It may be little things that could be a big connection. It may be little things that can make a big difference. It may be a big thing that's outright something like the lottery. No, we're not the lottery. I'm saying it could be something that big. So I thank you all for listening in. Okay. I'm going to play Mother of Love by Jai Fountain, known as Jai Music. You guys have heard her. She's our segment host on Tuesdays with our Turn It Up Ask the Artist with Jai Music. I'm going to play Mother of Love for her, and the next after that is going to be Charlie Wilson's My Love Is All I Have, and then I'll be back with you to continue this, okay? I say we do Charlie first. I'll come back to Jai after. Thanks, guys. Back in six.
Hello. Do you have a minute? I noticed you from across the room. Take this wrong. I couldn't resist that smile and those beautiful eyes. I can see that you wear fancy clothes and drive a fancy car. Your hair did and your nails done, looking like a superstar. Can I take you out to dinner, baby? 'Cause there's something that I wanna say to you, my love. Account for seven figures, and I may not have a sailboat and a big old mansion, oh no, but I do know how to love you, baby, and in my own way, in my own way, I'm rich as hell. I really hope that none of this don't matter, and I hope that you don't judge a man by his status. And I was wondering if you and I could get together and know each other better. And I promise you, I'll give my all and make my heart your passion. I give you all. Love is all I have. Girl, you'll be what it is. I am just kidding.
Back, that was my girl Violet with Weather of Love. Okay, once again, I would like to go over our up and coming entrepreneurs. I want to start out with Flint, Michigan. Okay, Flint, Michigan, you have two local businesses that's being brought out there by probably someone you know, Mo Mosley. Ianka Photography and Imaging, and Mosley Sound Inc. He's doing music and pictures out there. So you guys that are out there with him, that know him, those of you that don't know him but are in the area, look him up. Take a look at our page, please, on the Edge Radio Show official website. We have a market page, one side for the entrepreneurs, and then we have a market artist page for the up-and-coming music artists. As it stands right now, we have two submitted artists. One is Marcus MC Silvers, who, as you heard, I played his rendition of Cameo's Candy. And the other one is Libra, the six young men and women that's out here in Queens, New York, trying to uplift the Lord and stay above the negativity that's going on around us. I am going to be replaying their songs before this broadcast is over. Okay, I'm going to go over these entrepreneurs one more time, and then I'm going to go into my next segment for all my soap opera fans out there. Yeah, KK's Mouth is going to be out there talking about the return of One Life to Live. I would like for you guys after the break to make sure you tune in, okay? Starting with the businesses in Flint, Michigan. Mosley, Ianka, Photography and Imaging, and I hope I pronounced that correctly. Flint, Michigan. You can contact him at marmos567@gmail.com. You can check the spelling on our official page in about 15 minutes after the show ends, okay? Also, he's with Mosley Sound Inc., also in Flint, Michigan. You can contact him at mosleysound@aol.com. In Lansdale, PA, we have Latasha doing Tasha's Tassels. She braids hair. She does locks. She's pretty good based on the samples you'll see on the website. you can contact her at TashaTonsils@gmail.com. Thank you, Tasha, for giving me a tongue twist. Okay. In Brooklyn, New York, we have Doodle Technologies, which was formerly PC Mac. He does IT services and computer repair, formerly PC Mac in Brooklyn. You can contact them at doodletechnologies@gmail.com. Additionally, in Brooklyn, New York, it's 4Play Music Entertainment. You have free DJ-based services for nonprofit organizations, including schools, DJ-based services for pay, including light and sound. You can email them at 4playmusicent@gmail.com. Then we have HSN, Photography NYC in New York. He does pretty good photography. He's up and coming. He's listed on our page. So you can look at him and post the link after the show's broadcast is over. Finally, we have DMG Management by Zena Gilliard. She is representing an artist that he is pretty good. He's energetic. He's funny. He's talented. He can move. His name is Dave G. I would like for all of you to look him up. The two entertainment companies that the On the Edge show is affiliated with, through Barry Mason and Stephanie Hammond, Tillett, we were seeing him at Brooklyn Exposure about 2 weeks ago, and he was worth the money. So Dave G, look him up on Google, see what you can get. ZMG Entertainment is who manages him, okay? Now, we are going to go to break. I am going to play my music with Steel Girl, and then I'm coming back with my topic segment, okay? I'm so, Katie, and those of you that are with me, that's out there following my followers, you know what that means, so get ready, okay? Back in 3.
About a material girl. Jesus being your big rockin' diamond. welcome back. We are trying to get a link up on to the Facebook page for all of you up-and-coming entrepreneurs and the clients that are actually now inboxing me and asking me where they can send it. I'm hoping to God that this will actually help all of you, and I'm hoping that this service we're doing is something that you all, you know, will benefit from. All of you will benefit from. I'm sorry if the mic was low on me. I am working on posting the link up. Now, I want to welcome all of you to the Sassy Soap Talk with Katie Barnett. Is that exactly what it's going to be? All of you that's out there right now, know that One Life to Live has returned to the air, but not to the TV network, to the online network. Now, those of us that have been watching One Life to Live know that this is a totally different show. When they said they were going to take it and continue it, we thought we were going to be getting the return of Victor, situation. We thought we were going to be getting Matthew and Destiny back together with doing the right by their kid. What did we get? We got HBO After Dark, Profane Mouth, the Dan Gone Bananas is coming, a crack-addicted, I don't know, wild child. We got Jaya switching again, you know, being between a grieving mother and a psychotic wife. Victor Kim trying to kill Todd. Todd trying to act great. Everybody pinched away. I'm not too sure I'm too happy with that part of it. But I am happy that the characters are back on the canvas. Now, half of you have all agreed with what I've said. And a few of you said that, you know, the side of it is so hard to get used to, but you love it. Indeed, it is hard to get used to. I haven't seen so much cursing on what's supposed to be dating TV. And as much as I'm not on none, I'm sitting here going, oh, my stars, or geez, it's not that. It's just way too much. It's not necessary. And Destiny. Destiny, of all things that Destiny is doing, Destiny out there being some, and let's call it is, some hoochie mama on the dance floor, never happened. That'll never happen. Okay? I think the only characters that I've seen that's been true to form and kind of remind you you're still in Landview is Vicky and Clint. Except Clint got a little spice going on. He got a little spice. It's not telling Bo off about how silly Matthew is. I'm loving that part. I hope they change that. Because finally somebody's telling Bo North that they're, in other words, their child is a brat. He's a brat. Okay? And long before he grew up to be a dad, I would have told him or given him one of those southern strap tree whippings. Okay, the things that's come out of his mouth. And what is Danny doing? Danielle needs to be strapped and flogged. She needs to be strapped and flogged, and all the parents and lambs need to stay out of each other's bedrooms and into their children. To their children. I am getting feedback from people. Wonderful. How nice is that about the song being played? I will be posting this very soon, everyone. Very, very soon. Okay? I appreciate the support, and the networking has been wonderful. So thank you all very much. Getting back to the show. All right, Prospect Park. You had a monster in your hands. Okay? You knew that you were dealing with a big project because only this show, I think this is the only show in network history that has actually been revived once it's been put on that shelf and cast of all other defunct shows. But we brought them back. The only One Life to Live fans could have been so resilient that we actually resurrected a show. But we didn't get our show. We got like the watered down drink of our show. Half an hour cut off, three of the broadcasting days cut off. We've got recasts up wazoo from all the characters we know. Then they didn't even recast them within the true character essence. They recasted a whole different person. Because Destiny then is definitely not Destiny now. Unless you went through a whole lot of plastic surgery. A whole lot. But absolutely not what we expected. And then how does it go from Victor being not dead after all to being locked up with Looney Allison to now he's part of some, what, like Chinese underground mafia gang? He got tattoos and everything. Freddy, I think it looked bad. I thought it was pretty hot. He had tattoos on and stuff. So I was like, oh, they're making, you know, Victor so nice and sexy and, you know, like a bad boy type in a good way, a good bad boy. No, he came from service like Irene Manning reprogrammed him all over again. Get any ideas from me, Prospect Park? I got my own clips. Okay, moving on. Vicky. I don't like what they did with Vicky and Dorian. I do not like it. They left off the show with these two ladies, which we always knew their love-hate relationship really has love going on. Two very close, almost sister-like friends, and they're picking them apart all over again. I don't like that, not at all. I think that they could have taken exactly what they left with and still made a good storyline for these two ladies without having to break it up and throw in all the trash that they threw in there with it. You know, now she's going to set up Vicky to do it. Okay? I do love that they took Corbin Boom and they took them curls off of him, and he's all grown up now, and he's a wonderful actor, and he's doing a good job with this character. And I'm hoping that he stays a good guy. Hoping he stays a good guy, because he's playing a really good role with it one way or the other. Do I like Cutter and Natalie together? I'm not quite sure yet. I'm not quite sure because they never gave us the chance to really let Natalie and John absorb and develop. And Liam is already walking and talking, and last I remember, he was like Maggie Simpson still sucking on a pacifier. Not sure I like how this is going. And Natalie, once again, she's more out there hot than ever. I've seen her more at the club than I've seen her home watching that show. Okay, for that matter, Destiny too. Okay, let's move on. Who's next? Who's next on this list? Who's next? David. Can David ever fail us in being hilarious? David Vickers has to be the funniest slapstick yet lovable character that Landview has ever seen. His crazy little quirky turns, Nora and Bo pulling out their hair but loving him at the same time. Love it. Is anybody else having a problem with Mr. Whitewash, pure innocent Commissioner Bo cursing up a storm the way he's doing? Because it makes me cringe all the time. I would like to hear your feedback on that one, because it just doesn't go at all with him at all. So, Nora, still feisty but getting ditzier by the minute in some ways. And this whole thing with Matthew, I think she had more spunk when it was on network TV, because I remember when she blew up at Matthew when he tried to get funny with her and said, "You're the one that went and had sex without a condom. Not going to talk to me about this?" And I thought that was probably the most boldest thing she's ever said to that little brat. Do I like the new Matthew? He's workable. I don't think he's outrageous, but he's workable. And, you know, his character for the part that they have Matthew playing, it works. It works. Jack Manning, I think I'm starting to like him. I know that he's starting to be more believable on screen. I'm starting to like him, but I'm hating the fact that he's starting to become a little something better, and they're regressing him. I think that Victor should have more than ever stepped up to the plate, especially having had been kidnapped and presumed dead for all that time. Having walked an actual mile in his brother's shoes, to understand what it's like firsthand for his life to be taken away, I believe that he should have now stepped up to the plate and appealed to Jack and Danny and told them that it's now time for them to make their bond their true father. On the other hand, why the hell is only the viewers loving little Sam? Victor got a kid that keeps on patting on the head, kissing, and sending off to his merry way. That kid hasn't had no real family parent time since he's debuted. Matter of fact, I think Crazy Margaret gave him more affection when she was alive. So, your thoughts on that. You know, post it here, post it on Katie Writes. You can post it, you know, in email, inbox, but something, because I'm scratching my head here. I'm scratching my head. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what are we calling this? I mean, it's like a rendition of One Life to Live. It's a watered down, like, sketch of One Life to Live. We see the characters, but they're not the characters. We see the storyline, but not. So how do we work this? How do we work this? And I honestly, I will turn Danny into, like, some flogging people and just have her, like, smacked up a little bit because she's stupid. She's acting completely dumb, and I'll say this loud and proud. There's no reason for her to be acting this outrageous. And then, of course, what the storyline said was, my mommy didn't pay attention to me because she was grieving over a dead baby. What? And how did she go from 16 to 21 in a couple of months? And, of course, what's the solution for these silly parents, for these wild-mouthed children to try to get their attention? Todd bribes her with furniture. I didn't agree with that one too much. I certainly don't agree with everybody telling Todd that he needs to stay the hell away from his own children when he was robbed of them by somebody kidnapping him for 8 years. I don't think anybody has the right to tell him, who, by the way, is the only parent that's looking out and seeing stuff in the children that should be seen and acting like a parent, that he needs to stay away from his natural-born children. He's done nothing but love those children, no matter how dark he is, no matter how off the cuff he is. He loved his children from day one, starting from the day he found out that he had a daughter named Star. I don't think Blair, of people, who's the biggest bedhopper there is, Taya, who's the biggest, I don't know what to call her, she's back and forth, that there is. She was the biggest enabler because she defended him to death, legally and otherwise. So none of them have the right to tell this man that because he's a dark soul or acts crazy, that now he can't be around them. That's for the smoker that smoked for 50 years, just quit him when the seller of the smokers. You shouldn't be doing that. You have no right. And from what I'm seeing, I think that these kids need a different. They need a different approach because Todd is the only one who's acting like he can see things, that he's on to them, and he's not playing their games. And you know what? With all the mouth and the twisted up eyes and the all their heads and smart mouth, they listen to him. I tell you that much. I'll tell you that much. Todd is getting results when Victor couldn't do it, when Taya and Blair, even as a combo team, they suck. These kids are running all over them. And like I said, why isn't anybody paying attention to Sam? Sam should be in social child services because it's a threat. He needs to be under some sort of investigation for being neglected. Okay, we're going to come to a close on this. I'm going to leave this open, and I would like for you guys to give me your opinions on it. I'm so fans of you out there listening. Call me at 847-337-9967. I want to give a little bit more airplay to Spread Your Wings Showcase clips. Marcus MC, if you're listening, you're up next. After that, Libra, and I'll be back with my closing remarks, okay? You guys have been wonderful. We're going to do this again next week, fans. I'm going to be delivering my commentary for the weekend. I will see you soon. Katie Sassy Soap Corner is going to be up on about.com between now and Sunday night. Okay, at least it will be submitted. Catherine will get to it. All right, thanks, guys. Bye, too. It's like,
woke up in the spot, I got my shine on. Team on a block, we get that grind on. Girls only with that green, so I treat them like I watch, I don't win, cause I ain't got time for them. I got love for my fans, so beat it up, she got me busting shots like Rambo. Riding nonstop, without handles, six shift, no automatic, on manual. My team, you know I gotta ride for. Every truck I do, I cop a G4. Boss crazy, Primo, about to blow up, boom, C4. I'm on a roll, I can't stop it. Swagger on a mill, yo, she's on top of. You mad cause she chose me. And she tastes just like.
Continuing out there, I do not want on any of you to get caught up in the rows and rows of what's going on around you. Libra, six young people out here in Queens, New York, they're trying to keep themselves above the fray. They're praising God with their Christian music. They're using what the young children are attracted to with their hip-hop moves, and they are out there uplifting Jesus Christ, Lord, every one of you. So all of you parents, you adults, you church leaders, take it from these young people and see what they're doing. Help to support them and uplift them because they are great examples and assistance in what you're doing out there. And what we're doing out there, trying to get these youth out there, you know, and bring them back in. Young people, pay attention. It's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful to hear this song. It touches my heart. Libra, you're out there. I'm playing you in about 5 seconds. I will let Facebook know to listen in. I want every one of you to please give these guys, find their Facebook page, Google them. Monster Miles, our very own sportscaster, is the brother to them. We are definitely able to reach them. Let them know if you appreciate their song so they can feel appreciated and encouraged in what they're doing. And I would like for every one of you to please, like I said, help these young people along, post an encouraging message. If any of you are record producers, just listen out there for them because they're trying. Even if you won't take them on, at least give them some hints on what you feel needs to be done. You know, help them move along and encourage them. This song, again, is entitled I Will Be Alright. It's by six locals, like I said, once again, in Queens, New York, trying to keep their head up out of the fray and out of the violence, and they're uplifting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, boys and girls.
Seems like I'm climbing a mountain.
Climbing Mount Sorrow.
It feels like the top.
And it feels like the top.
When all I've leaned on.
When all I've leaned on.
It catches me by surprise.
Catches me by surprise.
Tell me, Mr. Refuge.
Where's the refuge?
Where's the joy?
Where is my paradise? I just lift my hands and say,
sing the rain.
Welcome back, welcome back. Love that song, we young men, women, love it. We have about 2 minutes left to go in this broadcast. I would like to say thank you to every single one of you. Like I said, we are almost at 1,300 listeners in less than a week. God bless you. God be praised for that. I want to say a couple of thank yous really quick to a couple of people that I've forgotten to mention. What was the launching of the show? And with every step of the way, Tony Brown, if you are out there listening to me, thank you, man, for all of the stuff you have helped me with. Thank you so much, because it was priceless, everything that you helped me get through here. And I also want to thank Tracy Annette Simpson. You have been my cheerleader in the background. Your husband, Daniel, thank you very much. I want all of my soap readers out there that's been with me since 2000 to now, thank you very much. I got your back. Elaine Yeves, Lady Diana, my girl. Martha Miles, Rodney Domrecker, Zeddy Williams, thank you very much, because you're out there and you're listening. Thank you very much. Mo, you've been 100% my little cheerleader and helper out there. Barry Mason, as always, legendary DJ from 98.7 Kids, formerly now of ISO Radio, for being the show's consultant. Thank you very much for your friendship on the side. Okay? I want to thank every single one of you once again, and hopefully this mission will be something all of you can take on with yourselves and move on with someone else. As always, I will ask you, please, be blessed, be a blessing, and make a difference out there, okay? The only way that we're going to be able to do anything is to open up our mouths to do it. So thank you. Have a good night. I'll see you on Monday.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.